got in your brain, you're in the Nerd's Domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Nerd's Domain podcast. This week, I'm here with Shirley.
Hello.
And Jesse.
Hi.
And I'm, of course, Matt, and we're going to be doing a Nerd's Domain on the Criterion Collection episode on Watership Down.
Yay.
A very terrible story that Jesse made us watch.
It is not a terrible story. I thought it was very heartfelt. I liked it.
You know what? Okay. Well, Jesse, what is the Criterion Collection?
The Criterion Collection is a collection of fancy movies that people feel that has changed filmmaking as a whole.
Okay, close enough.
And they're typically like director's cuts versions of the films.
They are specifically the vision that the director had for the movie, that sometimes it's the director cut, sometimes the movie that came out is the director's cut. Ironically, Seven Samurai, which was our first Criterion Collection, we saw the Japanese cut, which was the original film, instead of the hour-and-a-half version that got released here in the States. I can't imagine that movie at an hour-and-a-half.
No.
So, this week we are watching Watership Down. This is our first animated movie on...
Yes.
Oh.
On the Criterion Collection. Didn't think about that, did you, Jesse?
No.
We will be talking spoilers, so keep that in mind as we're going through this. This is just going to be voices of people. And honestly, a lot of the people in the movie, I did not recognize as voice actors, although they sounded familiar.
Mr. Hurt.
Well, the main character is played by John Hurt, who we just saw. If you're listening to, our other episodes of this, we just saw him in, Alien.
Mm-hmm.
We also saw him in something else, didn't we?
He's in Contact.
Oh, is he in Contact? Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. He is in Contact. But all of these are rabbits, so they have very rabbit names, like Hazel, who's played by John Hurt, Fiver, Chief Rabbit, Big Wig, Pipkin, Dandelion. I thought they were calling that bunny Cowslip as making fun of it.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's the name of a flower.
I
Cowslip.
Didn't realize that. So the story is about, I feel like the story is Fiver as a seer,
mm-hmm.
pushing Hazel as a leader.
Yes.
Yes.
So the story follows Fiver, who has seer-like abilities to see the future and see disaster coming. And so he sees the meadow flooded with blood.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to warn Chief Rabbit. I'm just going to give a quick overview.
Yeah.
Tries to warn Chief Rabbit. Chief Rabbit pretty much blows him off. And Hazel, his older brother, decides that he and some of the rabbits are going to leave. As they're leaving, the group essentially gets cut in half by others going back to the warren.
Mm-hmm.
They're confronted by Captain
Rabbit,
one of the captains that we do get to see later,
yeah.
Who is pushed off by Bigwig, who's one of the officers of the warren. Bigwig joins them, and they flee. There are lots of tense adventures as they try and make their way to only Fiver knows where. Literally, Fiver knows that they're going to a place that he has seen, but they don't know how far it is. Along the way, we see some death of some mm-hmm. of their number. Not a lot. I was surprised. I expected the number.
Right.
If they had a bigger number, I would have expected more to die.
It was
Jesse, the way that you made it sound, I was like, they're all going to be dead by time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you.
Let's get to this place.
The sadness of it is a little overblown, but the character, the rabbit who does die early on was Violet, and it was the only female rabbit they brought with them.
Yeah, right. That is true. So they eventually find the place that they're looking for. It's the hill. And they realize they have no females, so they have to go find them. They make an attempt on a farm to free some females. That fails. So then they make a decision to raid another warren that has females. The captain who tried to stop them at the beginning and arrest them was actually in that warren and was essentially, beaten half to death for trying to escape, and then he escaped. And, things go bad. They get caught trying to escape with the females from there. They do get away, but get tracked back. And then the final, I would say, battle
mm-hmm.
begins. Hazel, who is very clever and a good leader, brings a dog back from the farm and that dog essentially saves them while chasing off the militant rabbits from, I don't remember the name of that town.
I don't What's the name of that town? Them off.
What's the name of that other Warren, Jesse?
Ephraim.
Okay. Ephraim, yeah, that sounds right.
Like that. He was not chasing them off. Well, some of them fleed, but
he murdered them hard.
Yes, he did. And like, that was horrible.
Woundwort was never seen again, and his body was never found. And the movie ends, actually, it begins and ends with myth.
Creation myth.
Well, and what that all means. So the creation myth is that the sun, which they named something, I can't think of the name of it. I'm waiting on Jesse to chime in here.
What is the name of it? Because I keep wanting to call it El Ahara, but that's the rabbit prince, the sun.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the sun is
Frith.
Frith is essentially the god of this creation myth. Mm-hmm. He creates all these animals. They're all very much the same. They eat food, and then the rabbits start breeding like rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Frith warns them off.
To stop.
And the prince rabbit refuses. So he changes all the animals and makes predators. And then, you know, the prince rabbit freaks out, and then he empowers the chief rabbit or the prince rabbit to become what rabbits are today. And then at the end, where we talk about how every, like, so the world is full of dangers for rabbits. Literally, he is the prince of 1,000 enemies, is what his title is. And the black rabbit will come for all of them. And that's how the movie ends, is that the black rabbit, Death, comes for Hazel after he's grown old. And they showed oldness on these rabbits really well.
Yeah.
They did.
We'll get into that, but the death comes for him, and he accepts death and goes along with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting and very, very well done. I can see why this is on the Criterion. It's a good storytelling. I know it's an adaptation of a book, which Jesse, you're going to tell us a little more about that. This is not the first time we've ever talked about Watership Down. I know that, Jesse, you've talked about the book a couple of times, but this is really it. This is Shirley and I's first time ever seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
And we are killing two rabbits with one stone. Sorry, guys, I had to do it.
That's horrible.
By watching this for Criterion Collection, and also this is, Jesse, this is your choice for supporting our Kickstarter so many years ago.
Yeah.
Which, you know, this is, Legend was okay. The Room was not this good. But this was really a solid movie. I was very happy with it. I will say, this is an animated movie. This is not for children. This should be PG-13 bare minimum. I think it's a little more towards the R range with a lot of the blood and gore that's in it.
Right.
And some suggested cannibalism and mm-hmm. murder. Like, there's a lot going on
there's
here.
There's murder, cannibalism, and then, I'm not misogyny of some sort.
A lot of misogyny. Yeah.
I never realized this the first time I watched this because it wasn't a thing back then. But watching it this time, I got a lot of feel of the current zombie trend in movies. It's a lone group of survivors.
Yeah,
The first group they come across is crazy. The second group they come across, you have to worry more about your own people than the threat of the outside force.
Oh my gosh, it's a Walking Dead episode.
That's interesting. Although I did read a group of memes today that suggested that Walking Dead is just a remake of Toy Story.
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to have to find it because that was really interesting, but we digress. I think you're right. This is a survival story, which I think is the key, the core there between the two. This is a story of survival. And the mythic abilities, because Fiber isn't the only one that has it. Bigwig has strength and is powerful and is a good mm-hmm. fighter, but it's more than just he's a good fighter. Like, that's his place in the society. And there are others like him. We get to see that Fiber has the seer ability, and there may be others like him. It's even suggested that his mother had it.
Yeah, that's more expanded upon in the books. A lot more expanded upon.
The books? Did you say plural
no,
books?
No, no, the book.
Okay. Okay. I was like, Lord, how many books are there?
Books?
I don't know. What, just Shirley, what did you think? Did you, what, did you enjoy?
No, yeah, I,
well,
no.
Well, did you? Yes
no,
or no?
Yeah, no, 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 but yes. I definitely enjoyed this. I thought the way that I thought I was going to need a box of tissues.
Yeah, that's the way I was expecting.
Because of the way Jesse explained
Jeez,
it.
Jesse, you really hyped us up for this.
We did. Like, Matt's like, I have to go home and watch a sad movie. And then I have to talk about it.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
No, it really wasn't.
I loved the creation myth.
Yeah.
Behind the story.
It was very simple and felt natural.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what you want out of it. You don't want something that's going to be bombastic and ridiculous.
Right.
This felt like it could have been a creation mm-hmm. myth.
Yeah, that's, I like the story.
This story does tell me everything that's wrong with Jesse, though. If you watch this as a 7-year-old, I can see why. Right. What?
I like the story, but the thing is, as old as the movie is, I really like the animation.
I think the animation had some lacking qualities in it, and there are some places that they clearly skipped out on doing some work on it.
Right.
There's a. Go ahead, Justin.
The animation is one of the reasons that I really like watercolor now too. This and The Hobbit series was all done in watercolor.
Right. And there was one point in this episode or in this movie that I was like, was this created the same time the Hobbit movie was created?
This was 78. I'm not honestly sure when
the Hobbit was done around the 80s, but yeah, it's got the
really?
Same animation
because,
style.
Yeah, it was the same animation style, and this is gonna age me, but I actually got to see the Hobbit animated. And when it came out into theaters.
Oh, that would be nice, yeah.
It was
Hobbit TV movie.
It was amazing.
That was, or I just want to make sure that's what we're talking about.
Hobbit.
Is that
animated
the
movie? Yeah.
I guess so.
Okay, so
I just
that
don't
was,
remember it looking like
that. Was 77.
Okay.
Oh, really?
So it came out a year before this.
Yeah. So, I found that the animation was lacking. The rabbits were distinct when they needed to be. When they mm-hmm. didn't need to be, they were not distinct and on purpose, which I think that's great. I could tell once I figured out who was who, because sometimes they would just say something and or call out somebody's name and there would be no real indication who was who. Once I figured out who they were, it was pretty easy to follow along. But then the turnaround is that they had no expression, which I get that they're freaking animated rabbits. They're barely anthropomorphized, not by a lot. But they had no real emotion in their faces, which I wanted more. And
except for Big, what's his name? Bigwig?
Bigwig.
Fitbit? Did you
angry.
Call him Fitbit?
No, I said Fitbit.
Okay. Bigwig.
Bigwig. But he looked just angry all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. Once they had an expression, it stuck with them the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And I didn't care for that as much as I could have. I think that there were some places where they clearly skipped out on the animation. It was jerky. It was almost a stop motion-y thing mm-hmm. or a very, very low production quality cartoon. I don't think it was bad, but I wanted more from the animation, honestly. It just didn't do it for me 100%. Not
I liked
bad.
It
still told the story it needed to tell.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jesse, you've been watching this since you were a child,
yeah.
right?
It still brings back warm feelings.
Yeah.
Dark feelings.
But how does it, like, has them... I've heard, like, some people talk about, like, movies or shows that they've watched from when they were a child and then growing up. Has the message changed for you?
It has since I've read the book, and I didn't realize that would alter my viewing of the film. It had been a while since I'd watched a movie, but it did a little bit, because the first time it was just kind of an adventure story of these guys trying to survive out in the wilds and It's like you said, it's more about the creation myth, the world they live in. The fact that I noticed that it was, a lot of movies are related to it nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Right. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Were you done?
So in regards to the movie and the book, how much of a difference is there? Do you think that there could have been more of the book in the movie, or?
They cut a lot of things out that I felt were necessary, because it goes in depth on everything more, which a book has more time to do, and I realize that. But some of the stuff it cut out was like Fiverr. The book explains why he's named Fiverr.
Oh.
And he's named Fiverr because rabbits have a tendency of not paying a lot of attention. Thus, they can't count past five. Fiverr is not the fifth-born rabbit. Fiverr could be the seventh-born rabbit. But from five to seven, they're all five.
Got it.
And that gives you an example of how the rabbits live. In the book, Violet doesn't exist.
Oh,
They get almost to Cowslip's Warren before it dawns on them. We didn't bring any women. Because they just forgot about it.
Yeah. And the mates issue is a big point in the movie.
Yeah.
Because their species can't survive.
Well, and I felt like, and maybe this is just me, I felt like the Cowslip and the rest of that Warren were not rabbits. They were hares. That's what kept going through my head, and I don't know if that has any actual, like...
They were still rabbits.
Okay.
In the book, anyway. But in the book, it went more in-depth on them. There was one that was cut out called Strawberry, which is sort of a romantic interest to Hazel, which made him want to stay longer. Cowslip was a seer, like Fiverr.
Okay.
He eventually is captured and is working with Woundwort when they go over there to Arafurth.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, it goes a lot more in depth than that, Warren. And it's, you guys have watched Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
You know the Red Wedding, how it built up to the tension that you know something's going to happen, but you don't know what it is?
Yeah.
Right.
In the movie, it just kind of, in the movie Watership Down, it just kind of happens that, Bigwig just kind of gets, strung up. In the book, there's the building tension of something's wrong. And the only one who notices it's Bigwig. And another thing they cut out of the movie is nobody trusts Bigwig.
Oh,
because he's bigger than the rest of them. He could take over at any time. They don't know why he's following them, because he doesn't have to. He could be leading them. So he has to be up to something.
There is some hints there, about at least about that he should be leading thing when it comes to Woundwort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that story, and that interaction, because he's like, I'm after your chief, Bigwig, and Bigwig's like, I fight for my chief, Hazel, and there's a
moment
clear,
of surprise there.
Yeah, there's a moment of surprise, and there's a clear delineation of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, and it felt very honest, and
right.
Yeah, like, oh, well, you're the biggest, and we're a warring Warren, so we would expect the biggest to be in charge, so I like that it felt very natural. There was a lot of naturalness to this movie. I can see all the stuff you're saying that was cut out, Jesse.
Yeah.
I feel like this is kind of like a Cliff's Note version of the book. Then.
It is, but if it was a TV series, they'd have had more time to expound upon it. The bad guys have Woundwort and his captain have a longer time to be introduced as...
evil?
Not just evil, but they still had a reason for doing it.
Okay.
Woundwort in his own eyes was not evil.
Right.
Whereas in this, it's pretty dark.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And apparently, according to Wikipedia, there is a TV series that runs three seasons that's based on it.
Huh.
What TV series is that?
It's called Watership Down. And apparently, I need to watch it now. There are 39 episodes, and it was marketed with the producers making an effort to reassure the parents that the violence had been softened and toned down. However, the third final season took a very dark turn.
this one is very violent. There's a lot of blood. There's, like, people are dying and coughing up blood, essentially. There's a point where they're drooling from a fight, and I wasn't... they look like zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was intense. This is an intense movie. This could be very, very intense for kids.
Yeah. Yes. The surrealistic scenes are very disturbing.
And that cat is freaking creepy.
Yeah. It got me when it talked to him, because I didn't remember it talking.
Yeah. I did like the crow, or the bird, but it was a little racist. Or at least culturalist, because it was clearly, like, Russian.
Yeah.
Russian or Greek or something like
that.
Yeah. It was foreign. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was fun, and it lent some comedy to the movie that was already dark. What?
Levity?
Some levity to the movie that was already very dark. So, I don't know. So, as far as the voice acting went, I thought it was fine. You guys, anything there that stuck out to you?
No, I mean,
You don't say.
I know. Like, tonight, I'm tongue-tied or something. Somebody's, like, put a hex on me.
So you were saying?
So I was saying, overall, I think it's a really good movie. I liked the voice acting. I didn't feel like there was anything there to be missed, or that was missing. I liked the animation. I liked the story. So I didn't feel like, I mean, if you wrote it and produced it today, of course it's going to look different. But I feel like for this story and the way that it was, the way that it was presented was great.
Now, there is one more thing that did stick out to me that I didn't care for.
You're always finding stuff
well,
that's wrong.
You know what? We're supposed to be critical of this movie. The song. Bright Eyes, the Bright Eyes song did not feel right.
Oh, really?
It felt very out of place.
Well, there wasn't any worded music up until that point. And when they started singing, I was like, oh, is this the end of the movie?
Yeah, right? I mean, it felt like Hazel was dead and that was it.
Yeah.
But it was, I don't know, like none of the rest of the movie had worded music, so it just came out of nowhere. And
right.
I didn't care for that. If they had done it a couple other times, I think it would have felt a little less problematic, but that one just seemed out of place.
I think they knew that they'd already done the fake almost death with Bigwig, and they were afraid you'd be hardened to that. And if they didn't make it look like Hazel had really, really died, you wouldn't think he'd really, really died. And they tried to give it that really, really dead feeling by making it important.
Well, they succeeded. That's something. I don't know. Overall impressions, what do you guys think? Who would you suggest this to, Jesse?
Well, you see, I suggest it to all kids because I turned out perfectly fine and well adjusted. No, I suggest it to a lot of people. I think it's an incredibly good movie. It has a lot of heart. The one person I don't suggest it to are hunters, because I knew somebody who was a rabbit hunter and just kind of turned him off of that.
Yeah, that could do. I can see that.
Well, good. I think every rabbit hunter should read, and see it.
I've never eaten rabbit. But anyway, I also suggest you read the book if you enjoyed the movie at all.
Okay, and out of 5?
I give it 5 out of 5.
Shirley, what do you think?
Because this is, I only use a 5 for the things that I love the most. I definitely would get this and keep it on my shelf and watch it again. So I give a 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5?
Yep.
As for who I'm going to suggest this to, I don't know that I can.
I wouldn't know who to suggest it
to. Yeah, I don't know that I can feel comfortable suggesting it to a lot of people because it deals with sweet, cute animals in a very violent way.
Mm-hmm.
But it does it. It does it lovingly, well, not lovingly. It does it respectfully, as respectfully as it can. They put him in a very real situation.
To the story.
There are some overall tones that I felt were a little heavy-handed, but it was 78, and it was environment and how man is the devil. So, you know, I'm willing to deal with that as well, I guess. Overall, though, I think it's a perfectly fine movie. I would suggest that if you're interested in this at all, you do go see it. I give it a solid 4 out of 5. Well, I give it a 3.5 out of 5 because the song and the animation issues do really bother me. So I would say if you could look past a little bit of that, that's what's pulling me down. So keep that in mind. I was just pulling up Hulu to see what we can watch next on the Criterion Collection, and of course, I can't find the Criterion Collection playlist.
Is the old Hobbit film on the Criterion Collection?
I doubt it.
I don't know.
I sincerely doubt it, but maybe it is. So we're going to pick live right here what we're watching next. We've already seen those two. Oh, thank God. Ooh, we could watch Equinox, because that looks freaking awesome.
Equinox?
I put that on the list, though.
You may have. Equinox, Jesse, it's got a Sasquatch monster on the cover.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
The First Man in Space.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip that one, since it's in two parts. Or we could watch Children of Paradise. What do you guys think? So one is definitely sci-fi. Equinox is probably also sci-fi. And then Children of Paradise is Doomed to Love.
Doomed to Love?
Doomed Love.
Equinox?
What do you think, Shirley?
Yep, Equinox.
Sounds like Equinox it is. So our next episode is going to be about Equinox. Deep within the woods and canyons of California, four teenagers happen upon an ancient book containing the secrets of a strange, malevolent world that coexists with that of humanity. This is from 1970. It's an hour and 22 minutes long. And it is full of horror and suspense. So maybe not so much sci-fi, but it's going to be a horror movie. I'm okay with it. Hey, you know what? We haven't seen a horror movie yet.
No, we haven't.
Well, Lord of the Flies.
Death.
That was a drama.
What is it?
That was Seventh Seal.
Seventh Seal.
Lord of the Flies was a horror movie.
Yeah.
We watched a horrible movie.
Oh, we watched The Blob. The Blob is technically a horror movie. We did watch a horrible movie, which is why your vote actually didn't count. Yeah. Your vote didn't actually count on this one, Jesse, but we'll let you have a vote, and we just won't count it.
Oh, nice. This has received praise from George Lucas and Ray Harryhausen and is noted as the main inspiration for The Evil Dead.
Nice. Oh, right on. We are missing out on First Man into Space. In this interstellar cautionary tale, brash U.S. Navy test pilot Dan Prescott, hungry for fame, rockets himself beyond Earth's atmosphere, only become encrusted with cosmic dust, and return a... Don't start the movie. And a return a blood-drinking monster.
Whoa, so he comes like a vampire?
Wow. Two horror movies we could have chosen from. And the last one that we skipped out on is Children of Paradise. Poetic realism reaches sublime heights with Children of Paradise, the ineffable witty tale of a woman loved by four different men.
Whoa.
Wow, I'm glad we skipped that one. 3 hours and 9 minutes.
What?
Wow.
I would like to see Pandora's Box. Go down one.
Oh, yeah.
That looks crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 2 hours and 11 minutes.
Sensationally modern. This is from 1929.
1929. Sensationally modern.
We'll have to check that one out sometime soon. Anyway, so that is our next Criterion movie. We will be bringing that to you in about a month. We've got our B-sides that just came out or are coming out soon. I don't remember
B-sides
which.
B-sides and classics.
B-sides and classics. So that's going to be our 2001 A Space Odyssey and Sharknado. Which, unfortunately, we should have done some differences there. We should have put Jaws with Sharknado,
yes.
But that's a failure on my part.
I don't understand why you guys didn't do that.
Because I didn't put Jaws on the list until after we decided the first two movies.
First of all, if you go Sharknado, you'd be, what classic movie could I put with Sharknado?
No.
Oh, what? Jaws.
You're right. You're in charge now.
No.
Then I guess you'll stop.
Okay. No.
Anyway, so join us next time for Equinox.
Yep.
If you have any suggestions for any Criterion movies we haven't covered, send them to us. At some point in the near future, we're going to be doing a retrospective on our previous movies and be watching The Magnificent Seven to see how it holds up.
Are you the new one that's coming out?
No, I'm talking about the one, the 1970,
yeah.
The original Magnificent Seven, okay. Which was a redo of Seven Samurai. Because then I want to watch the new coming Magnificent Seven and see how much I enjoy it comparatively. So we will be doing
Chris
a retrospective
Pratt
on those.
In that, I just don't know how funny it's, like, is it supposed to be funny?
Well, I mean, Seven Samurai has a lot of humor.
Yeah, he does.
Have you seen The Magnificent Seven?
I love that guy.
No.
Okay.
No.
It has... There is a character who is strongly resemblance to the guy with the long sword who just kind of wandered in The Seventh Samurai, who was the comic relief.
Oh, yeah. Joker comic guy.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that's who Chris Pratt's going to be.
Oh, okay.
I'm fine with that.
Probably.
Anyway, you should be checking out our other podcasts.
Yep.
You could find those over at NerdsDomain at nerdsdomain.com, or I'm sorry, nerdsdom.com/nerdcasts. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at NerdsDomain on either one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And we are on Clamor. Don't forget our Clamor.
What in the world is Clamor?
So do you like social media, Jesse?
Not overly.
You like how Twitter comes at you 144 characters or less?
Not a huge fan of Twitter.
Right, but instead of long, long Facebook posts.
Yeah.
So imagine a podcast, but you only get 24 seconds.
Okay.
So you can see what it's like.
Oh, I see.
So this is a way for you to go and find people on Clamor, where they post 24 seconds or less, and then you can follow a link over to their podcast or to their webpage to listen to more of what they've got. So
it's kind of like a sneak peek.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got some Clamors up. We've been clamorsizing. I don't know what you call
clamoring.
That. I want to call
it
clamorsizing. Sorry. It's too late. Clamorsizing.
Clamorsizing.
That
sounds like jazzercising.
Yeah, whatever. So great stuff coming out there. So keep an eye on our Clamor, or an ear on our Clamor, and follow us there. We should be putting stuff out a little more regular, once or twice a week, hopefully, just highlighting what we've been doing. All right, so that'll do us tonight on the Nerds of May podcast.
Criterion Collection.
Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you guys real soon.